This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Debris discovered. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, May 20th. Glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
An Egyptian official says search crews have located debris from Flight 804 off the coast of Alexandria. Meanwhile, what happened to the French airport security known for being so tight?
Sad note from TV. Less than a week after announcing his retirement, longtime 60 Minutes correspondent Morley Safer has died at the age of 84.
The San Francisco police chief is out after yet another controversy. An unarmed woman has been fatally shot by an officer, the latest in a series of problems there.
And why the presidential candidates still aren't talking about the job market.
Really, instead of things like trade and immigration and building walls, I mean, the main thing people still care about is we don't have enough good jobs. And the candidates are just saying nothing of substance about it. At best, they are addressing it in kind of an indirect way, the way Donald Trump does when he says he wants to toughen up on trade.
Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman on why there's a lack of job talk on the campaign trail. He's here in about 25 minutes. Well, it's day two of a search for an Egypt Air jet that vanished from radar in the early hours of yesterday morning. Flight 804 was headed from Paris to Cairo, and Egyptian officials are now saying the crash was more likely caused by terrorism than technical or human malfunction, although no group has claimed responsibility. The plane was carrying 66 passengers and crew and at cruising altitude over the Mediterranean when it twisted around, dropped, and disappeared from the radar screens of Greek flight controllers. FBI Director James Comey.
National security business and law enforcement business have tried to make the world very small. So when something like this happens, we talk to each other and share information, and that process is going on right now.
Egypt at one point yesterday said plane wreckage was found after the Greek government reported potential sightings, but then backtracked. But there is word this morning now that debris and personal belongings have been found about 180 miles off the coast of Alexandria. But while authorities say it's still too early to determine why Flight 804 disappeared from radar after entering Egyptian airspace yesterday, French officials have refused to rule out terrorism as a possible cause. That said, the Wall Street Journal's Matthew Dalton says the incident has fanned concerns that one of France's most protected terror targets, air travel, is vulnerable to Islamic State and other militant groups. He's with us live this morning from Paris. Matthew, what's going on right now, say, at Charles de Gaulle?
Well, they're looking at the passenger manifest. They're examining the people who have had contact with the plane since it was on the tarmac in Charles de Gaulle, looking to see if there are any indicators that, these people would have had involvement with a terrorist group. It's also fair to note, though, we should note in French to the French, that the plane also right before coming to Paris, it was in Eritrea, it was in Tunisia, it was in Egypt. It had made a number of stops, a number of flights in the day before, earlier in that day, before taking off from Charles de Gaulle. So there's also been speculation that if it was an attack and somebody had placed a bomb in the plane, it could have been done earlier in the day in time to explode later.
Wow. All right. So this is obviously, I guess, a better way to phrase it, I guess, just folks are still on edge from the November terror attacks in Paris, correct? So is it safe to assume things are pretty tight at the airport?
Yeah. I mean, and after the Brussels airport attack, too, I think both the perimeter security around the airport, you know, before you go through security and then going through the security checks, you know, they're pretty tight there. And then another thing that has worried officials for a few years now is the possibility that, actual airport staff could be radicalized and take part in an insider plot to down a plane that those worries were kind of sparked by a few instances of people who worked at the airport, a number of airports around Europe, including Charles de Gaulle, who then left for Syria to join extremist groups there. So there have been, after the November 13th attacks, the security authorities at Charles de Gaulle re-examined all the, did a kind of a new background check of all the people working at the airport and stripped a number of people of their badges because of potential extremist associations, and dismissed a number of people because of previous criminal records. So that's something that the authorities are aware of. Now, whether they took care of the problem completely is, I guess, we'll be able to tell in the next few days.
How many airport workers, by the way, in Paris have been shown the door, I guess, since this rescreening you discussed?
Well, 85 have been either had their security clearances withdrawn or been blocked from obtaining a new clearance.
Wow!
And then actually 600 have been dismissed because of previous criminal records. That could just mean, you know, dealing drugs or theft or something like that, not anything to do with extremism. It's a pretty large number of people, and there are about 86,000 people who work at Charles de Gaulle.
Wow. So what are surveillance powers like in France, for example, at the airport?
Well, they're similar to what they are everywhere in the country. France has recently beefed up its authorities to surveil people electronically, to use all kinds of special surveillance techniques, electronic surveillance techniques, to find and identify terrorists. The other thing to note is that for the past 6 months, France has been under a state of emergency since the November 13th attacks. So that means that the authorities have the power to do administrative to search people's possessions and houses without the prior consent of the judge, and they also have the power to make people stay at home and check in, or rather to check in with police three times a day and then to stay at home over during the night. People without the approval of a judge, and this is kind of a precautionary measure under the state of emergency for people who are deemed to be a terrorist.
Mm. Hey, thanks for a few minutes this morning. Appreciate it. Wall Street Journal's Matthew Dalton with us live from Paris. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let's take a moment to share a message from our sponsor, Google. You might be surprised how many people are looking for your business on Google every day, not necessarily by name, but by the products or services that your business offers. When people are searching for these things, it means they're interested in them, and that's exactly when your business should be there. The good news is it's easy to make that happen. Just run an ad on Google. You don't have to be a marketing genius either. Creating an ad takes just a few minutes. Head on over to g.co/GordonDeal to learn more. There's even a special offer waiting for you. That's g.co/GordonDeal. Here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business four times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel inside, powerful solution outside.
Thanks for being with us. San Francisco Police Chief Greg Suhr has stepped down at the request of the city's mayor, hours after a police officer fatally shot an unarmed woman. It's the latest in a series of scandals. Yesterday's shooting unfolded when two officers spotted a suspected stolen car with a woman in the driver's seat. As officers tried to make contact, she apparently drove off, then collided with a truck. As cops tried to arrest her, she reportedly moved the vehicle. Authorities say it was then that one of the officers opened fire. She later died. City Mayor Edwin Lee.
And in the best interest of the city that he loves so much, he tendered his resignation early today. Despite the political rhetoric of the past few weeks, I have nothing but profound admiration for Greg.
This comes on the heels of cell phone video recording five police officers shooting and killing a 26-year-old Mario Woods in the same Bayview neighborhood
as yesterday's incident. For more than a year, San Francisco police have been under scrutiny as several scandals unfolded, with officers accused of violating citizen civil rights, exchanging racist text messages, and impeding criminal investigations. Morley Safer, a member of the 60 Minutes team on CBS for almost five decades, has died. He was 84. The program, you'll recall, had just run a feature on him this past Sunday, the day he retired. Mr. Safer helped change Americans' perceptions of the Vietnam War in 1965 with an eye-opening report about the torching of the village of Cam Ne by using flamethrowers, matches, and cigarette lighters. A native of Toronto, Mr. Safer earned a Lifetime Achievement Emmy. He also collected 12 other Emmy Awards and three Peabody Awards, among others.
One of the great pleasures of this work, maybe the greatest pleasure, is that you get to do things and you get to see things that very few people get access to.
He started with CBS News in 1964. In all, Mr. Safer did 919 stories. His final one, 2 months ago. A profile of a Danish architect. Mr. Safer, along with such 60 Minutes legends like Don Hewitt, Mike Wallace, Ed Bradley, Andy Rooney, Dan Rather, Steve Croft, and Leslie Stahl, was one of the most widely recognized broadcast journalists. He is survived by his wife and a daughter. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Britain, Egypt's Navy and Air Force have located personal belongings and parts of debris from the wreckage of Egypt Air Flight 804. The material was found 180 miles north of the city of Alexandria in the Mediterranean Sea, where the airliner was believed to have fallen early yesterday after vanishing from radar screens. FBI Director James Comey says there's no concrete evidence about what happened yet.
So far, at least, we have no claim of responsibility or evidence that this was an intentional act. But the FBI, as you would expect, is working with our partners around the world to try and gain a better understanding of what happened.
Amid fears it was some kind of attack, French authorities are defending security at Charles de Gaulle Airport. Oklahoma lawmakers have moved to effectively ban abortion in their state by making it a felony for doctors to perform the procedure, an effort the bill's sponsor says is aimed at ultimately overturning the Supreme Court's 1973 decision that legalized abortion nationwide. Governor Mary Fallon, an anti-abortion Republican, will withhold comment until her staff has time to review it. A city in western India has set a new heat record for the country, a scorching 123.8 degrees Fahrenheit. Authorities have issued a severe heat wave alert for the next 2 days in the area. With Memorial Day marking the official opening of many pools around the nation, the CDC is out with a new report that warns water lovers to be careful before jumping into the deep end. The CDC looked at 2013 inspection data from the five states with the most public pools and hot tubs and found that 80% of public aquatic venues had at least one violation and one in eight were closed after the inspection due to serious health and safety violations. The Cavaliers continue to roll. Cleveland dumped the Raptors 108-89 in game two of their Eastern Conference Series, led by LeBron James's triple-double of 23 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists. The Cavs now a perfect 10-0 in the playoffs.
I don't think it feels like a streak. I think it feels like, we won one game. We won the next game. And how do we prepare and be better the following game?
A series moves to Toronto for game three tomorrow.
What's going on with these Cavs?
They're on fire.
What's that? I mean, they don't have any shot against whoever the Western Conference winner
Perhaps
is,
do they?
They
do.
You think so?
Yeah, they're beating each other up, so maybe.
Okay, fair enough. It's 23 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. How about this summary of the current housing market? Rents have been on the rise. And for residents of some cities, it means they now need six-figure incomes just to afford a two-bedroom apartment. In April, rent jumped 3.7% from a year earlier. Market Watch reporter Katie Hill has a list of cities where there are big demands of your paycheck. Katie, give us numbers.
All right, number one on the list for the most expensive, San Francisco, where you had to make $216,000 to afford a two-bedroom apartment there. I mean, that was just shocking. By the way, the median income in San Francisco is only around $80,000. So for a lot of people, it's just driving them out. I mean, it's absolutely unaffordable to live in San Francisco. I mean, you need to make over $200,000 now to afford $200,000 just to afford a two-bedroom apartment there.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't think about even calculating kind of the median income and matching that up to what you'd need for a two-bedroom. What other cities kind of are in that boat?
All right, so not surprisingly, New York below this. New York, it was $158,000 you need to make to afford the two-bedroom apartment. That's because New York, they when they look at these, they look at the major metro area, so that includes some of the nearby suburbs as well. But still, $158,000, which is crazy. And New York, I mean, it's like renting a two-bedroom in New York, it's about an average of like $3,600 a month now. I mean, it's all crazy. So you need to make a ton of money to afford it there. And then L.A. was next on the list at $145,000. Rents have gone up a ton in L.A. in the past few years. They really skyrocketed. So it's made it very, very unaffordable very quickly for a lot of people.
We're speaking with Market Watch reporter Katie Hill. She's got an interesting piece and a somewhat disturbing one, too. It's entitled, How Much You Need to Make to Pay Your Rent in These 15 Cities. All right, it does seem, at least with the first couple of cities, though, it's kind of where the jobs are.
Yeah, and also if you continue down the list, this is exactly right. Boston is number 4, D.C. number 5, Seattle number 6. So, yeah, these are where the jobs are. I mean, luckily, people that live in these cities do tend to get paid more. However, if you look at the median income in a lot of these cities, it's below what it costs to afford a two-bedroom. So these people are, you know, struggling. They're spending, you know, way over that 28% threshold on their rent just to get by. I mean, of course, some of these cities, San Francisco and New York, have, you know, programs for affordable housing and, you know, some people in New York, they have rent control, some apartments, but those are just the minority of apartments. So what's happening is people just realize, I can't really make it here anymore, even though I'm getting paid more than I would in another place.
Thanks, Katie. Market Watch reporter Katie Hill, who's based in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Say goodbye to thieves. Say hello to CudaCam by Barracuda Networks, the leader in cloud security and storage solutions. CudaCam is a complete cloud-hosted video surveillance solution that captures high-quality footage when motion is detected. Just plug in one or more CudaCam cameras with no network or camera configuration. Video evidence is automatically encrypted and stored in the Barracuda Cloud for secure access from any web browser or mobile device. Visit CudaCam.com to learn why CudaCam is so easy on your wallet, yet so hard to avoid.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, May 20th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Breaking this morning, an Egyptian official says debris and personal belongings have been found from Flight 804 in the Mediterranean. After yet another controversy, the San Francisco police chief is out. 60 Minutes legend Morley Safer has died. A back injury will keep Roger Federer out of the French Open. After a three-hit gem last night, Chris Sale of the White Sox is now already 9-0. Blake Shelton's new album goes live today. And some of the gifts a Cincinnati teacher gave to all 87 of her graduating students. That story in about 20 minutes. On the campaign trail, how are you feeling about the jobs proposals from the leading presidential candidates? If you're scratching your head, that's because it's somewhat of a trick question. Now you're thinking, wait, what jobs proposals? Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman says the likes of Trump, Clinton, and Sanders have been silent about specifics. Rick, how do you see this?
Well, what are they talking about? We heard Hillary Clinton say recently, she was asked, what role is Bill Clinton going to play in your presidency if you win? And she said, I'll make him in charge of revitalizing the economy. That doesn't inspire confidence because Americans still say that jobs and the economy are their top concern. And when you hear a presidential candidate say, oh, that's something I'll have my spouse handle, that sounds like it's an afterthought. Now, maybe that's not the message she meant to convey. But really, instead of things like trade and immigration and building walls, I mean, the main thing people still care about is we don't have enough good jobs. And the candidates are just saying nothing of substance about it. At best, they are addressing it in kind of an indirect way, the way Donald Trump does when he says he wants to toughen up on trade. And I guess his point there is by by raising tariffs and on imports and doing other things like that, that that will indirectly create more American jobs. But it may or may not. And if it did, it would take years.
So how is it that these two leading candidates then are avoiding, at least according to surveys, what is our number one concern?
I think it's because they're trying to attack each other. And Bernie Sanders has a big role in this as well. You know, Hillary Clinton is basically running two campaigns right now. She's running one against Bernie Sanders, her Democratic rival. At the same time, she's trying to ramp up her campaign against Donald Trump. And it's all negative for the most part. And even Bernie Sanders, you know, his big thing, obviously, is break up the big banks, do other sort of improbable things like make college free for everybody. Breaking up the big banks won't create jobs. If it did, it would be indirect and it would take a long time. It might create no job. And even Bernie Sanders, sort of the champion of the little guy, is not saying what he would do to create more jobs and improve economic growth. Again, it's just undoing what, you know, everyone's addressing what they think the problems are without saying, here are some solutions that would actually fix these problems.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. His piece is called "The Presidential Candidates Are Still Not Talking About Jobs." So the jobs issue here is really the quality, right? I mean, we've heard numbers, decent jobs growth from month to month, but drilling down, these are not those kind of high quality, high paying jobs.
For the most part, they're not. And while we've seen, we have plenty of jobs in the country. We have more jobs than we ever had, but median income is still down from where it was in the past. So that tells you by definition that the jobs we have pay less. And I would, you know, I think instead of thinking about jobs, think about economic growth. When the economy grows rapidly, which let's define as 3.5% or 4% instead of what we have now, which is around 2%, I mean, by definition, that creates jobs.
Yeah.
Companies spend money because they're making more money. They pay their workers more. They are more inclined to hire people with better skill sets who cost more, and we just don't have strong growth right now. This is not a simple problem to solve, but the government could certainly be doing things it's not doing. For example, American corporations have $2 trillion worth of money they could be investing here in the United States that instead is parked overseas because they don't want to bring it back to the United States and have to pay U.S. tax rates on it. So there certainly are proposals for how to fix that. It's just nothing is happening. You know, there are many other things we could do to make this a better environment for business. And you can do these things while still protecting the environment, still protecting workplace safety and all the things that we want regulation to do. But we're just not addressing this in any comprehensive way.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. By the way, if you're a fan of podcasts, here's one to put on your radar. It's from famous sports writer Mike Lupica, and it's being put out by our company, Compass Media. You can find it on places like SoundCloud and iTunes. Mike's first guest, by the way, Larry David. Just search for the Mike Lupica Show. It's 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online. We're joined now live by Google Trends expert Nina Tyler from the West Coast. Seriously, you got up at this hour to do this?
Yes, from the West Coast this week in Mountain View, California.
Did you just not go to bed, or did you actually sleep for like an hour or two and then get up for us?
Got a little bit of rest and then up for you guys, as always.
Holy
love joining you and your
wow,
listeners.
Man, all right. Well, thanks for doing it. Let me start, by the way. We'll start with Robin Wright, and I want to play this clip first.
And I was like, you better pay me, or I'm going to go public.
And they did.
All right, so set this one up.
That's right. You know, everyone knows that Claire on House of Cards is not to be messed with. And apparently, Robin Wright, you don't mess with her either. This was she was in a room full of activists and media at the Rockefeller Foundation. And she said that she basically had to fight for equal pay to Kevin Spacey on House of Cards. You know, she looked at some of the numbers and she said that, you know, some of the statistics showed that Claire's character was more popular than Frank's for a period of time. So she capitalized on it, you know, and told them that you better pay me or I'm going public. It got some laughs. But there was a lot of seriousness, and she continues to shed light on the gender pay gap in Hollywood.
Yeah, whenever the Transportation Security Administration makes news, it's usually not for good reasons. Explain this, Nina.
Yep, not for good reasons. This week is no exception. You know, there's growing uproar. Travelers, you know, we're entering the summer period where a lot of people are traveling, and the wait times at the TSA checkpoints, I mean, they're just going through the roof, specifically in Chicago, making news this week. 450 American Airlines passengers were trying to fly out of O'Hare, and they could not get to their gate on time. You know, so this is just kind of the growing, you know, just the growing anger at the TSA for making the checkpoint waits so long. And so people were looking for things like, why are TSA lines so long? Why is the TSA so slow? What's going on with the TSA? Why are TSA agents quitting? Those were some of the questions we saw popping up on Google.
You talk about some bad news, too, changing topics here. How about Morley Safer? I mean, the guy announces his retirement last week and then promptly dies on Thursday.
I know. And this one, you know, I come from a TV background, so this one hit me, you know, close to the heart. I grew up watching Morley Safer. You know, he's a journalist. He's really a TV icon. You know, you've probably seen him on 60 Minutes for years and years. He's actually the longest-serving correspondent in 60 Minutes history. And like you said, you know, he passes away just 1 week after announcing his retirement. You know, people looking for questions related to Morley Safer. How old is he? You know, is he married? When did he retire? Because, you know, people were thinking, you know, he was just in the news. When was that? Was that a week ago, 2 weeks ago? Wanting to kind of put those pieces together.
Wasn't much of a retirement. We're talking live this morning with Google Trends expert Nina Tyler. Let me play one more clip with regards to the NBA draft lottery.
The number one pick in the 2016 NBA draft goes to the Philadelphia 76ers.
All right, basketball making news, Nina.
Basketball making news. The top three spots in this draft lottery went to Philadelphia, as you just heard, Los Angeles, and Boston. And there's just a lot of excitement over this. You know, so many emerging stars come out of the NBA draft, so all eyes are on it. You know, people wanting to see who will be, you know, who will come out of it and who will be the next Kobe Bryant or the next LeBron. You know, so stay tuned. The draft will take place on June 23rd at Barclays Center in Brooklyn.
Very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes, as always. Appreciate it. Nina Tyler, dark and early from the West Coast with us live this morning, Google Trends expert. It's 13 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let's take a moment to share a message from our sponsor, Google. You might be surprised how many people are looking for your business on Google every day, not necessarily by name, but by the products or services that your business offers. When people are searching for these things, it means they're interested in them, and that's exactly when your business should be there. The good news is it's easy to make that happen. Just run an ad on Google. You don't have to be a marketing genius either. Creating an ad takes just a few minutes. Head on over to g.co/GordonDeal to learn more. There's even a special offer waiting for you. That's g.co/GordonDeal. Here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business four times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel inside, powerful solution outside. Hey, glad you could be with us, and a good Friday to you. This portion of the program is brought to you by Vistaprint. Need a marketing boost for your small business? Well, Vistaprint is the tool you need with tons of custom products for home and office. Are you a landscaper, perhaps, who needs lawn signs to promote yourself? Vistaprint has them. Business cards? Got them, too. And right now, there's a great offer on the table. 500 business cards for just $9.99 when you enter my promo code DEAL at checkout. Vistaprint makes it simple to personalize your business cards on their website. And Vistaprint guarantees you'll love your products every time or they'll make it right. Again, here's the offer for our listeners. 500 business cards starting at just $9.99. Just use the code DEAL at checkout. That's up to a 50% savings. The quality's great, the website's easy, and you can't beat the price. To get 500 custom business cards for $9.99, visit Vistaprint.com. Design your cards, then enter my code DEAL at checkout. Again, code DEAL. Vistaprint.com, then enter the code DEAL. It is 8 minutes now before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Expert in the Egyptian military has found personal belongings of passengers and other debris from an Egypt Air jet floating in the Mediterranean, confirming that the plane had plunged into the sea with 66 people on board. The Navy said it found the debris about 180 miles north of the coastal city of Alexandria and is sweeping the area in search of the plane's black box recorders. The last known survivor of the team that carried out November's Paris attacks refused to talk during questioning in court today, and the session ended abruptly. Salah Abdeslam's lawyer said his client invoked his right to silence after the 26-year-old last month said he wanted to explain all. Today was the first time Abdeslam was questioned since his extradition from Belgium last month. San Francisco Police Chief Greg Suhr resigned hours after the death of a young black woman in a stolen car who was shot by officers. Mayor Ed Lee asked for Suhr's resignation.
But following this morning's officer-involved shooting and my meeting with Chief Suhr this afternoon, today I have arrived at a different conclusion to the question of how best to move forward.
The 27-year-old woman was shot in the same neighborhood where five officers shot and killed a black man carrying a knife. A week after he retired and just a few days after his network aired a tribute to his work as a journalist, one of the fixtures of CBS News has died. Morley Safer, who had been in declining health, died yesterday at the age of 84. A twist in the long-running controversy over the Washington Redskins nickname. Results of a Washington Post poll show 90% of Native Americans asked weren't bothered by the name. The Post surveyed 504 Native Americans from every state in Washington, D.C. Those who say the name Redskins is offensive have been pressuring the team and NFL to change it for years. Now, how would you like to sleep at the Eiffel Tower? You have a chance if you win HomeAway's contest. The rental company is taking over part of the first floor of the iconic landmark for the duration of the Euro 2016 soccer tournament in Paris and transforming it next month into living quarters. Four people will be named winners.
Ooh.
Oh, you want to go for this?
Interesting.
You want to sleep at the Eiffel Tower?
No, I just want to go to a game.
Oh. Well, that's,
I don't care
about
the Eiffel Tower.
Go to a game and then come back and hang out at the Eiffel Tower.
Right, take some selfies. I don't care about sleeping there. I would sleep on the soccer field. That'd be great. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. In case you forget, you matter a lot. And you're annoying sometimes, but for the most part, you're amazing. So go be great. That's the message from teacher Sunita Scott to her seniors at Robert A. Taft Information Technology High School in Cincinnati. And this year, she's giving her seniors an unusual send-off, a personal gift and letter for each. It's a great story from the Cincinnati Inquirer. 87 students, 87 letters, 87 gifts. She's taught most of these seniors twice, some of them three times. The gifts are about 10 bucks each. She got help from an online fundraiser. An aspiring hairdresser, for example, got a smock that reads, quote, "Don't make me cut you." A quiet boy got a journal. She told him, "You have a whole lot to say. You just don't say it." One girl is known for lugging around huge encyclopedia-sized books. Sometimes she actually lugs a real encyclopedia. So Ms. Scott got her a t-shirt that says, "I like big books and I cannot lie." Graduation is next Wednesday. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.